Well, it's a very good evening and welcome to Metro FM Sport at 6 with myself, Owen Honey, this evening. The time has gone 10 past 6 o'clock here at Metro FM, and we've got a jam-packed show once again for you. Tonight, we're obviously going to be talking about the big breaking news of the afternoon regarding Dr. Kamalo 16V leaving Kaizer Chiefs for Baraka FC. And we'll be chatting to Morgan Mamila later on this evening, who is the Baraka FC CEO. Give us a bit more details regarding that move of Dr. 16V Kamalo. And also, it gives me great pleasure to talk to Corin Losh, the wheelchair tennis CEO of South Africa, and then Khatatso Machane, who is a champion in her own right. She comes into studio this evening and gives us more insights into her career and what she's about to embark on as she heads over to America for another tournament, the US Open, which gets underway shortly. So there's going to be great, great action on board on this evening's show. And I urge you to stay tuned to all that's coming up. But first, obviously, we have to take a look at all the news from around the world. Well, it's a very good evening. Welcome back to Metro FM Sport at 6. The time now, 17 minutes to the top of the hour, 7 o'clock. And in case you haven't heard the big news of the day, it's regarding the move of Dr. Kamalo away from the Glamour Boys. Well, with Dr. Kamalo's signature secured as the technical director at Baraka FC, the Limpopo-based PSL club has promised to give him all the support he needs. The Kaizer Chiefs legend officially announced today that he's leaving the club after a service of 31 years as a player and technical team member. Well, we managed to get Baraka FC CEO Morgan Mamila on the line, and it gives me great pleasure to chat to him this evening to find out more on this deal. Good evening, Morgan, and welcome to Metro FM Sport at 6.
Good evening to you, and good evening to our good listeners of Metro FM.
Always a pleasure. So how did this deal come about? Because as Dr. Kamalo said in our previous interviews and sound clips, is that it only happened within the last 3 weeks.
Yes, my brother. To be honest, Baraka Football Club is a big brand. It's a team which has got a rich history. So I think it's time for us to take this team to the next level. And by doing that, we have to have more professional people around the team. So that's why Doctor's name was on the line. And we approached Doctor, and he accepted our offer, and the rest is history.
Well, it's not just about the money, obviously. There must have been a lot more on the cards that you offered Dr. Kamalo. What was that you promised him that you could give him and the support he needed? Obviously, make Baraka FC the great team you expected to be.
You know, to be honest, I think we owe this as a country to Dr. Kamalo. He has done, you know, a lot of things when it comes to football. And I think the Chiefs have done their part. It's us now as a South African to take from where Chiefs left and take it up. Mm-hmm. And that's why Baraka, we lift our hand to say we want to be part of that. We want to see Doctor growing bigger and bigger, because 50 now, from 50, obviously, it's something else. He can't play football anymore. So the professionalism that he had from Chiefs, so we want to spread around the whole country. That's why we bring in Dr. Kumar.
For the layman out there that would like to know more about this position, technical director, what does it really entail?
I think, you know, in South Africa, mistakenly saying maybe technical director is maybe the future coach, and it's totally wrong. Technical director involves a lot of things. It's guiding the technical team, specialized more in development. That's where Doctor will help this team, because Baraka, we want to lead in future, because we more worry of South Africa not as a team. Because you look at PSL teams as a whole, most all of the teams have got Limpopo players. And we want to make sure that all good players from Limpopo, they start from Baraka.
No doubt that obviously that's going to be the case.
That's one thing that we're going to start doing now. We'll then carry the mandate to as a country as a whole.
Last season, Mark Harrison was appointed to TD, but he didn't even finish his season. Was there any issues there that he couldn't fulfill, or was it by mutual consent that he left the club?
I love not to talk about the you know, the previous season, because the previous season was not good for us. This season, there's a future for Waroka, and I think that's where we must concentrate on.
So what is in mind for Baraka FC this season? You obviously don't want to be languishing in the bottom parts of the log. What is the main goal for the team this season?
I'm happy because you can even see the comments from the kickoff there. They mentioned four teams that they'll face the relegation. They didn't mention our team name there.
That's positive.
It tells you the story that, you know, this team is heading in a good direction. That's why we've acquired the services of the professional people like Dr. Kumar.
In terms of signatures and signings during this off-season, during the transfer window, have you made any meaningful or major signatures this season?
I think we did. We have got, like, we've got all five you know, international players, the national team players. We've got Banda, Abdi Banda, from Tanzania, the captain of Tanzania national team. We've got Louis Macha. We've got Mpoha Swani, sensational young player. You know, we've got Lachin Kuzana, he was playing in Turkey. We've got a balanced team, my brother. I just want to be honest with you. We're hoping and praying that we'll, at least when we say we didn't perform, we are maybe position six.
But that is the case. Obviously, you said that you want to give more Limpopo players a chance and an opportunity to play at the highest level. But you can't only do that, because you need a bit of experience within the team, and the likes of bringing international players or players that are playing abroad into the team does help create that balance for you.
You know, when I talk of Limpopo, I was talking more of development, because you see young players from Limpopo, they come up from our province and without even knowing them. So we're going to go all over Limpopo and look for talent and search for talent. I think Dr. Kumar will be part of it, and he will be one of those who will have an eye of all those people. Actually, we'll start as young kids as 10. So we've got a program that we're going to do. That's why I'm saying Dr. Kumar will be part of that program, not the coaching, as people may think.
Morgan, from a Limpopo Polokwane point of view, what has the reception been like since the announcement that Dr. 16 V. Kumalo is coming through to Baraka FC?
It's not a Limpopo only. It's the whole country. I've been receiving calls left and right. My phone even ran out of batteries, I'm sure, three times. And I was with Dr. Kumalo. You know, he received lots of calls, crying. But people were actually, they are happy for him, because they needed him back into the game.
Well, Dr. Kumalo said that there was obviously a lot of thinking behind him leaving Kaizer Chiefs. He's been there for 31 years. Nobody would have thought you would leave Kaizer Chiefs, a club he grew up at, he played and coached at. And for you to get a major coup like this must be a great and a pleasing situation for Baraka FC. How does this make you feel as the CEO of the club, and what is your future plans with Dr. Kumalo in mind? Obviously not being, he comes on board as a technical director, but not coming in as the future coach of a club like this.
You know, to be honest, from me, I'm also lucky to be part of this team, because this team has got a rich history. You look back, I think as is now, Waroka is the only team that has played as an amateur team in a World Cup stadium when it comes to a professional match. And it's the only team that play with Bafana as an amateur team. And it's the only team that has knocked out the big giants of Gauteng in the Nedbank Cup. So it's a team with a rich history, and everybody is proud to be part of this team. So to Dr. Kumal, obviously, he knows about Baroka. He knows what Baroka has done. So I think he also wants to be part of the Red History team.
If I may ask, what is the terms, the duration of Dr. Khumalo's contract with Baraka FC?
Dr. Khumalo, his contract, he'll only leave Baraka when he's got an offer from Bafana Bafana. Mm. It's a lifetime. If he can stay with Chief for 31 years, so what's stopping him to stay with Baraka for 31 years? We're only going to release him for a bigger team, which to us is Bafana Bafana, because it's our country.
Mm. Dr. Khumalo also said that the first time he met with you and the rest of the board, obviously, was with Bobby Motoang also by his side. That must have been an awkward meeting, or was it very forthcoming in terms of having all three of you sitting around a table?
It was a fruitful meeting. Dr. Khumalo is a professional person, and I've got my chairman, who is a very good gentleman, a professional person who listened. And it was so sweet when Dr. Khumalo laid out the foundation, and the chairman was so happy, and even the chairman said the input that made Dr. Khumalo, you know, to feel at home. Mm. So that's what I'm saying. I'm going to work with two professional people, my chairman and Dr. Khumalo.
Your first game of the season is up against Polokwane City, a derby game. Obviously, any derby game is always very difficult. Will 16V be sitting on the sidelines with the rest of the team?
Yeah, 16V will be among the spectators up there. At his position, because Dr. Khumalo is not going to sit on the bench. He's going to sit up there with me and other people. That's where his position will be. I think we're more than ready for the derby. And my coach said it all yesterday, that he's looking for 3 points. Mm. And I'm really behind my technical team. Let them go there and get 3 points for the team.
Playing in front of the Peter Makaba Stadium is always a brilliant crowd to be playing in front of. Next game after that is Orlando Pirates. And as we all know, Orlando Pirates had a dismal season last year and last season. This must be an opportunity for you to take advantage, obviously, carrying going forward, being that team that's known as a giant killer.
Not really. We're no longer giant. We are giant. Mm. We are giant. You know... This thing of we are giant killers. We are giant. Baraka FC are giant. Look at our history. We played the last 8 games last season with top teams. We lost only one to Golden Arrows. We didn't lose to KZG. We didn't lose to Sundowns. We didn't lose to Pirates.
That's
we
true.
Didn't lose to SuperSport. So then we giant.
No, for sure. There's no doubt about it. And you're making a name for yourselves. And I guess if we're not going to call you giant killers, we're going to call you giants yourselves. And obviously getting a player like, or a person like Dr. V, Dr. 16V Khumalo on board, it's going to be a brilliant season for you guys. And let's hope that you're going to finish right up there in the top 8. No doubt about it.
No, that's our wish, my brother. And we're praying for that. And I think we are stepping in the right direction and we'll achieve that.
Best of luck going forward for the rest of the season. Morgan Mamila, thank you so much for your time on Metro FM Sport at 6.
Thank you, and you are good listeners, Morgan.
There we go. That's the doctor is in the house, Baraka FC. Morgan Mamila joining us on the line there. He's the CEO of Baraka FC, and they made that official announcement today, or Dr. 16V himself made the announcement that he is leaving Kaizer Chiefs after a 31-year spell at the club. He joined them at the tender age of 16 and hasn't played for any other South African club during that period, and joined the technical team as well at Kaizer Chiefs. Now moving abroad for the first time, he heads over to Baraka FC as a technical director, and no doubt that, as Morgan said, they're not giant killers, they're giants themselves, and they expect the same this coming season. Well, it's almost 7 o'clock on Metro FM Sport at 6 with myself, Owen Honey. And now it's time to change direction. We've dealt with all the soccer talk. It's time to head on to wheelchair tennis. And joining us in the studio this evening is Corin Losh, wheelchair tennis CEO, as well as the star of the moment, world number 8 at the moment. And no doubt, Khatotso Mochane is one of the stars that's coming through South African ranks and world ranks, no doubt, to be in the top 10. If I just give a brief outline of what she's done, Tatatsa is ranked number 8 in the world and boasting 2 singles titles, including the Prague Open title, and 5 doubles, including the US Open doubles title in the year under review, not counting the Johannesburg Open or the Joburg Open singles and doubles titles won in July 2017. South Africa's number 1 wheelchair tennis ranked player, Tatatsa Majane. Welcome to Metro FM.
Thank you.
Well, what a CV. Can't doubt that. There's a fantastic CV so far. And Corin, welcome to you as well.
Thank you.
Well, let's start with KG, if I may call you that, if you don't mind.
Simple.
Simple enough. Well, number 8 in the world, that's no mean feat. And for you to get up there, it's taken a long time to get up in that rankings. But no doubts about it, you still see growth and a future growth for you to get up to world number 1.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Credit to, you know, my team. You know, this is not only my work. We are a team. We had up and downs. But you know what? Managed to, you know, hold in there through tough times. And here we are today. I mean, we managed to qualify for a major again. So I would say credit to my team, people who are behind me. You know, I've got coaches I'm working with. I've got Wheelchair Tennis South Africa. If it wasn't for them, we wouldn't be taking another major. So I'm just grateful for the support.
Corin, it is very important from Wheelchair Tennis South Africa that the support is there for many players. And it seems that wheelchair tennis is one of the fastest growing sports when it comes to disability sports.
Hashtag the year.
Beg your pardon, or sorry about that. So yeah, it is important that it is growing, that they got the support.
Absolutely. I mean, it is, as you're saying, it's a really fast-growing sport, not only in South Africa, but also across the world. For us, what has been important is over the last couple of years, we've had the support of Airports Company South Africa, which has helped us to develop players such as Khotatso. But at the moment now, we really do need some more support and additional sponsors to come on board and help to get KG to number 1, as well as many of the other players we have in our books.
What is the status of Wheelchair Tennis South Africa? How healthy is it, and how have you got the support from other federations as well in terms of even SASCOC? Have they come on board to help out as much as possible?
I think that's a very long-winded question to answer.
But
basically, I think the sport is very healthy. It's one of the most healthiest disabled sports on the ground. We've got over 500 players who play on a weekly basis that are funded through our community programs. And from that, I mean, we've got a number of players. Khotatso, I'm leading the ladies' side, but I mean, it's Mariska Fenter, who's now moved from 65 to 32 in the world. We've got Nokwando Langwane, who was 2 in the world in the junior girls. So those are some girls that are coming through the ranks. In the men's side, we've got Lucas Atole. We've got Evans Maripa. We've got Alwande Skosana, who's also one of the top players in the world, all coming through. The support that we've had has been really good from Airports Company. We've got a really healthy program at the moment. But, you know, the health of the program is great, but we do need the support to make sure that it happens, that opportunities are provided to keep the sport healthy at the base, as well as to support players like KG and those ones I've mentioned to come through and have the opportunities that they deserve to get to the best they can get to. So with regards to the government and SASCOC specifically, they did support KG and Lucas up into the Paralympics in 2016. Since then, we're very fortunate that SASCOC have come on board and paid for KG to go to the US Open, the trip coming up. But besides that, no, it has been a bit sporadic.
KG, getting back to you, the US Open is an event you're heading to next. You've been there before and done very well in the past. What does it look like for you? You skipped 1 year, if I'm not mistaken, recently. 2 years. Missing those 2 years, what does it mean going back there again?
Yeah, like I said, it's been a rough journey for me as a player, or for the whole team, you know, dropping out of the top 8, you know, battling it out, making sure that I get to the top. I mean, it's been a rough journey, but other than that, the solution has been found, results are showing. So for me, I'm excited that I'll be competing at that stage, you know, and I'm just looking forward to it. I'm going into this tournament as an underdog who just bounced back into the top 8. So for me, I just feel like no pressure. I just need to be out there and enjoy it, you know. I just want to have fun. I don't want to go there with a lot of expectations and all that. And I've been playing well, so I I have nothing to worry about. And with the support of my team, I'm sure we will come up with something. So just looking forward to it.
You talk about a lot of challenges. Are these challenges not only on the tennis court, but off the tennis court, personal life? What challenges has there been that's hampered you?
Yeah, like Karen mentioned, in terms of funding support, without a funding, I mean, as an athlete, I'm really nothing, because I need to be mentally fit. I need to be physically fit. I mean, I need a trainer. I need a psychologist. So if those things are not covered, I can just be on court and hit the balls. But those type of things, as an athlete, it's a need. But if I can't really get them, like in the past, I couldn't get that. So since I've got that, I mean, that's why things are getting better. So that's what I mean about the support. So if I don't have a funding, I couldn't bring psychologist on board. I can't bring a fitness trainer on board. So it's just me and the coach, you know, and we need more than that. So, yeah.
Well, as you all know, it's Women's Month, and there's no need to remind you about that. Women in wheelchair tennis, how are you empowering women to come on board and to play the game more competitively? And is there a greater plan from both your sides?
Yeah, I mean, luckily this year I got to play in two tournaments here at home. You know, being part of our own home tournament, getting to see, you know, the upcoming players, getting to engage with them, and for them getting to see me really playing out here at home, you know, against tough competitions, that also, you know, motivates them, and chatting to them a little bit, see where they really want to go and all that. So you find them, most of them saying KG is our role model and all that. So you can really see, and the potential they're showing on court. I mean, it really shows that they have a passion for this sports. And the best I can do as a female athlete is just to, you know, keep encouraging them not to lose hope, because everything is possible, because they are so lucky. They started while they were very young. I started when I was 18, so you can just imagine. So they still have a long way to go and a brighter future up front.
Karen?
Yeah, just to say, to echo what KG is saying, I think a large part of the inspiration is KG. She does inspire a lot of women and a lot of young girls. She started off just like them in the community programs, and in a space of 8-10 years, she was 6 in the world, now in the top 8 in the world. So it is very important to have players like KG playing at home. In addition to that, it is very important for women and girls in general to have a sport and have something happening in the communities that they can really take charge of and participate in. So our plans are to make sure that we have programs that are in the schools and in the clubs in the areas, so the players can play from as early as possible, to make sure we have events in South Africa where we can showcase our top players, and also have clinics and opportunities where we focus on the young girls to make sure we develop them, but not only as players, but also as complete people, where we include that to say, you know what, you're an inspiration for women coming through, whether they're disabled or through circumstances like yourself, to say you've got an opportunity to change your life and show what you've done with yours. So use that as a sport, as an opportunity to do that.
Talking about events, what events are there at the moment in South Africa that showcases the sport of wheelchair tennis?
We, over the last couple of years, we've been hosting around 4 to 6 international events in South Africa. Most of them are entry-level events, so they give the opportunity to up-and-coming players. We have two to three high-level events that cater for players such as Khutato, or the top 10 players in the world. In April this year, we had the SA Open. There, we had the top 10 players coming to our shores in all three categories to participate. And interestingly enough, we've won the best tournament of that caliber in the world for the last 2 years.
Oh, fantastic.
It's amazing, above the British Open, the US Open Super Series. So really great events that the players want to play in. We attract the world's best and we can showcase our top players.
What made the SA Open so special?
Yeah, I mean, South Africa has a unique culture, you know. People love our different cultures. We've got style, you know. It's different. And people love the food, to be honest. A lot of international players love our food because they normally throw the braai in, and our pairs parties are the best. We've got nice music here at home. Yeah. So, yeah, that's what they love most. I mean, even when we're out there, they always say they are the best parties are in South Africa, because it's a must for a tournament to have a players party. So I would say, and they got inspired by all these upcoming young kids who are playing, because in other countries you don't find that. There's not a lot of kids who are playing wheelchair tennis, but here at home we've got like plenty of juniors, and they're so amazed that can a country have so many people with disabilities, you know, and of which I believe they are everywhere in the world. But here at home, how wheelchair tennis cater for those kids, it's also inspiring for them. That's why they keep coming back. And I see some of the players bringing some stuff for our players when they come. So you can just imagine what they've seen in this country. It's a blessing in disguise, I would say.
Well, getting back to the development of wheelchair tennis in South Africa, how did you get involved and how did you stay involved? Because that's the other thing. It is an expensive sport to maintain the wheelchairs and to go to different tournaments around the world. It's very expensive, obviously. But at that initial age, when you first got involved in tennis, how did you go about it and what kept you motivated?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I didn't even like the sport. I was an active learner at school, you know. I played table tennis. I was very good in table tennis and wheelchair basketball, which it was least of my favorite. I don't like team sport, but yes, that's where I was spotted at school, because I was very active. So when wheelchair tennis came into school, they had to send two players to wheelchair tennis a camp. I guess I don't know if they were launching it or what. But I was just crept out of class and I was told to go. But I was like, sir, I don't play that sport. No, not me.
What school was it, by the way?
Helena France Special School. It's in Limpopo. So I'm like, sir, I'm not the right one. I know people who play this sport. I've seen them playing it.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm not asking you, and you don't talk back to your elders. And I'm like, anyway, I'll just go. They said I should go. Then, you know, I went there. Luckily, I was still 18. And as a junior, I was selected to go to Holland for some Silver Fund camp.
Was that your very first trip overseas?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, it was. And I was so excited that, geez, finally I'm going overseas. I mean, I've been trying out in athletics. Couldn't break records. Now tennis.
Wow.
This looks fun. looks like I'm going to travel, you know. And I was, because I didn't have a background of tennis, it was so weird that I used to serve with my right hand, play with my left hand, the forehand, and play double backhand, which now it's so impossible to play a double backhand in wheelchair tennis because the balance is just not there at all. So it's so impossible. And I went there. Nobody corrected me on that. I went to Holland. I came back. I was playing like that. I played my first tournament in 2005, I think, where I was nicked out of school. My tennis teacher, you know, sneaked me out of school, transported me like a package to Pretoria. I mean, played my first tournament, and I was just playing like that.
Yeah.
And I won the tournament, and then they were like, you won $600. I'm like, what? Do we even play for money here? So I was like, oh, then this is this is the sport for me. I'm going to travel, and I'm going to win money. Never won money in my entire life. I've always been winning medals, but I've never won money. Then when I went to varsity, luckily there were guys who were playing there, and I just like, you know what? I'm just going to join this group and let's see if I can travel more. So for me, it was like, I'm going to travel. I didn't have goals be number one because I didn't understand the sport anyway. So I was just like playing. Even when they said the best of three tiebreakers said, I would play the whole three sets. I mean, I didn't know, like, if you win two, you won. Then I was just like playing. For me, it was just like, you love sports. So just do it.
Keep on going.
Yeah.
She's a special woman, isn't she, Corin?
Absolutely.
KG has got the skill. And like she said, I mean, nobody taught her the game initially to play ambidextrous, I guess, and then to use a double backhand. There's not many other players that can do certain things like that.
No, we haven't seen another one since. I don't think we're going to.
Talking about the development, I mean, coaching side of things, and KG kind of had to learn by herself in a way. How is it looking in terms of getting coaches out there and teaching other young aspiring tennis stars to come through the ranks?
It's much better now. And then when KG started, she was one of the first crop of players that we identified when we first started. So now we do have a lot more successful program and a lot greater reach. Many of our centers are in in rural or far-reaching places where there's not your traditional coaches. So we make sure that we upskill somebody who is able to coach at the schools that we have, at the 50-plus schools every single week. So players are getting coaching from a lot earlier. We're also starting in the primary schools as opposed to, you know, catching players when they're 18. Mm. So it's a lot more structured. We've got a lot more coaches working in the areas. They're around 20 to 30 coaches. Yeah. Who work for us on a weekly basis through these different centres. So, yes, they've got a much more opportunity to learn the proper skills from early on. We also try and introduce competition a lot earlier, where at a local level as well as a national level, to add on to that hunger and to that will to win.
Well, I'm in studio at the moment with two amazing people, which wheelchair tennis CEO Corin Losh, as well as Kotatso Mochane, wheelchair tennis world number 8. And there's no doubt about it, they're very talented, and there's a lot of motivation behind the sport as well. And if you'd like to chat to them, all you have to do is give us a shout on 089-110-3377. We'd love to hear from you, and maybe you can post a couple of questions to them. So I'll repeat that number once again. It's 089-110-3377. And you'll be able to chat to them. We'll be back right after these. Well, the time, 21 minutes past 7 o'clock, right here on Metro FM Sport at 6. We're taking your phone calls with regards to wheelchair tennis in South Africa and abroad if you want to. And if the number to call is 089-110-3377. You can give us a shout with regards to wheelchair tennis. Love to hear from you. In studio this evening, we got the wheelchair tennis CEO, Corin Losh, as well as Kotatso Mochane, the wheelchair tennis world number 8. And what a pleasure it is chatting to both of them this evening, especially in Women's Month, a month that has to celebrate women of all different types, sporting codes, whether it's your mother, sister, friend. Let's do that. Celebrate women in South Africa. Well, Kotatso, you are heading over to the US Open as the third-ranked player. It's been 2 years since you've been there. What is your aspirations heading into the tournament?
Yeah, man, I'm so excited. I just can't wait to compete. You know, that thing that I've been longing to compete at the bigger stage. You know, like the taste of that. It's something that I always wanted it again. Even when I dropped out of the top 8, I was like, ash, how did that happen? When am I gonna get back there? So, you know, for now, I'm just willing to be back there and compete again, because I love competing, honestly. And, you know, in any sport, if you don't love competing, then you're not ready for the challenge. So I just can't wait to play my first match at the US Open.
Corin, getting back to you and being the CEO of Wheelchair Tennis in South Africa, how long ago did you take up this role, and what brought you to the sport of wheelchair tennis?
Sure, I think it's about 10 years or so now, roughly about 10 years. They're all years going to each other. But I've always played tennis, and I've always had a love for tennis. And yeah, I used to work for a pharmaceutical company for about 15 years. And I thought, you know what? I'd rather give my heart and soul to something that I believe in and something I can make a difference for. And my passion was tennis, and I wanted to really do it for wheelchair tennis. And I was grateful I get the opportunity to live my dream.
Well, getting back to the federation also, you've made it through as a finalist at the G-Sport Awards again this year. It must be a great honor and a privilege, and it's just around the corner.
Yes, it is a great honor and a great privilege, and I'm absolutely ecstatic. I can't believe it myself. So I'm just holding thumbs for myself, but mostly also for the athletes who, we've got a number of athletes who are nominated, and I'm holding thumbs for all of us.
You spoke about Lucas Atole a bit earlier on. Where is he and what is he up to? Because it's been a bit quiet on that front.
Lucas is around. He's in South Africa. He's training hard at the moment. He will be going with KG to the one trip in the US, and then he will be going through to a tournament in Europe at the end of September. The quads division is slightly different to the ladies. In the US Open, they only accept the top 4 players in the world, 3 by automatic entry and 1 by wild card. So the Americans gave the wild card to a fellow American, and Lucas, as he's ranked 4 in the world, was unfortunately the person that they had to leave out. So he's training really hard. We're expecting good things from him on his two tournaments, and we look forward to him playing those top four guys again at the Masters at the end of the year.
How did Lucas take it that he was snubbed from the tournament?
Any professional athlete, I'm sure, does not take those things lightly. He's training hard, and he's definitely working on making sure he's back in the top three so that doesn't happen to him again.
I'm sure he doesn't want that to happen. He's heading over with you to the US anyway. Good to have somebody of his experience on board.
Yeah, I mean, of course, we travel a lot, me and him and the other guy called Evans. So, I mean, we are a team, you know, because sometimes we just travel three of us, so we need to be there for each other as teammates and support each other, make sure that we help each other to warm up and all that. So it's just good to have him around, you know. The first week he'll be there, so, yeah, I won't be bored, he won't be bored, so... Being away from home, it's always lonely and boring. So it's always good to have your teammates around.
Do you feed each other's energy? And if one loses, you all take it quite badly and try to pep each other up?
Of course. It happens a lot, you know. Sometimes you just even feel like you want to watch, but if something goes wrong, you know, it's just going to affect you when you have to play your match. But, you know, I think we've been standing up to each other very strong that let's be there and support each other, because you can imagine it's just the two of us South Africans. If you don't support each other, I mean, who else will do that? Because you are in America and the crowd is huge. It's just the two of you. So if you don't support your teammate, then it's just another story. So we just support each other regardless of what. It's what we've been raised to do since we started playing this sport, because we started playing at the very same time. At the very same time, and we've been traveling together. So we sort of have that, you know, sister-brother relationship within the three of us. So we're just a family like that.
You've also been nominated in the G-Sport Awards as a finalist. What would it mean to you to win?
Jeez, I mean, obviously winning an award, it always means a lot, you know. Mm. But, you know, the nomination by itself, it really means a lot. Because whoever wins that category, you can imagine they'll be deserving that that award. Because I think this category is very tough, because the results have been exceptionally well for the three of us. So,
who else is in that category, by the way? If you just help us out there.
There's Ilse Hayes.
Okay.
And what's the other one? I know her surname is Kotsi, and I think she broke her own record in Bloemfontein, and Ilse just won two silver medals in the World Champs Athletics. So, and she also did well in Rio last year. So, and the other one also qualified for Rio Paralympics last year. So you can just imagine three Paralympians, one with silver medal in there, one with a world record or their own record. One winning titles in 10 years, so it's very tough. I'm sure all of us, we just appreciate to be nominated. Whoever wins that, we're just going to applaud. But for us, recognition itself, it really means a lot, because G-Sport has been promoting women in sport in this country. I think they've been doing exceptionally well. Knowing that there will be hours there whereby it's only women, it really just means a lot to all women in sport.
You claimed your third Swiss Open title after beating Germany's Katharina Kruger. Great event to be at, obviously, for you.
Yeah, I mean, there's something about the Swiss Open. I don't know, but I also don't know. Maybe it's the chocolate they live in the rooms.
Oh, you love to have chocolate.
Who doesn't love Swiss chocolate, specifically Swiss chocolate? I don't know, man. I mean, every time I went to Swiss, I always did exceptionally well. I don't know if it's just me or... but I just feel like the conditions in Swiss, man, they just... Feels like I'm playing at home, you know, the energy that I have out there, I don't know, but it's also a mental thing. Being at Swiss, I just know, which is something I want to establish with other tournaments, just having that, the mentality that if I go into this country, you know, this will have to be for me and all that. So Swiss Open is it's a really nice tournament, and I love it, because every time I go there, I win. The years that I haven't been there, I mean, they gone, but when I go there every time, I just win. So I just love it. And winning it for the third time in this generation that's playing right now, I don't think there's anyone who did that in the top eight. It's only Esther who retired. So it's an honor. I mean, it feels great.
Corin, from a federation point of view, if anybody wants to get hold of you with regards to wheelchair tennis, what the contact details and how do they get hold of the federation itself?
Probably the easiest is probably to send to look at our website. Mm-hmm. All of the contact details would be on there for the various coaches, for myself, for any aspect. Mm-hmm. It is www.tennis.co.za. Also, welcome to email me. It's Karen, as in my name, Karen, mm-hmm. at tennis.co.za. If you don't have a pen or something to write down, an easy one to remember would be pr@tennis.co.za, mm-hmm. and it will be forwarded through to me. And well, alternatively, welcome to send me a message or contact me on my cell phone. Should I give the number?
We would leave it. There's 6 million listeners out there. Could be
That's
tuning
fine.
To this. But yeah, we'll go to the website and obviously get all the details Perfect. There. And obviously for potential sponsors that also might want to come on board. We know that SAA has been a great partner of wheelchair tennis. But
Airports like Company South Africa. Sorry,
airport
not so- SAA.
Company, your pardon. I always get that. I remember you guys playing in front of the airport as well. I think it was Oetumbo. So if they do want to get involved in terms of sponsorship, they can also go through that same channels.
Please, that we would be more than grateful to receive those. Calls.
Excellent. Talking about Airports Company South Africa, you'll be flying out soon. Best of luck over at the US Open. When does it take place and what do you want to achieve out of this tournament?
I start on the 7th of September mm-hmm. until the 10th. You know what? I just want to do best. Get into mm-hmm. the finals. It will be upon us. So I'm in a great space. I'm going into this tournament to have fun and to play some great tennis, to showcase some talent. So I'm just, I don't want to be saying if I win, I don't want to say if I win, if I lose. But you know what? All I know is I'm willing to go out there and give it the best performance that I can and enjoy.
Well, we wish you the best of luck from Metro FM. We will be rooting behind you and hopefully you do come home with some kind of silverware and let's hope it's that championship trophy.
Thank you.
Well, that brings an evening or brings a close to our evening. So thank you very much to Corin Losh, wheelchair tennis CEO. Thank you so much. And Khotatso Majane, who's about to embark on to the US for the US Open. She's ranked third for the tournament and she's currently ranked number 8 in the world as well. So good luck to both of them and thank you very much for joining us this evening.
Thank you.
Well, that brings an end to our show this evening. Thank you so much for joining us. Just quick update on the score. England currently 201 for the loss of 2 wickets on day 1 of the day-night test against the West Indies. Joe Root is currently on 94 with Alistair Cook, the opener for England, on 80 not out. So plenty of work then for the West Indies if they'd like to fight their way back into this test. Thank you so much for joining us this evening on Metro FM Sport at 6. I look forward to your company again tomorrow night. Good night.